who didn't have lunch? Because it's why? Is that true? Did you finish food?
I didn't get what I wanted.
Let me tell you, whether it's everybody didn't eat, I mean people who didn't eat, blame Temungos senator. You hear Temungos people didn't eat. Why? Were we more than smiling? We're sorry about that. Then it means Temungos will take you out for dinner. We'll do dinner with you. And then I will also invite his wife to be part of that. So I'm inviting his wife when he's taking you guys to dinner as a security. He can be, after meals, he can be very tired, so somebody must lift him up. Members, there were supposed to be follow-up questions, and it's now that time. Honorable Van Eyck, is your chance.
Chair, my follow-up is on the digital migration, and I would like for the committee to ask a report on something that's bothering me a bit. The awareness program that the DOC has, and with specific referral to the rollout of this program via door-to-door. And why I'm asking this is it's bothering me because what I would like the committee to ask is, I know that planning and programming was done to get the budget for this awareness program. If it's possible that we can get the program that you intend to do in each province. You said that you did a budget, you did do an analysis of the cost implications via door-to-door and radio. I would like to see that per province. Then why I have a concern is, where do you get the people that do this door-to-door? Is it people from the street? Is it people from the department? Because you say that you indicate that there's not enough people in working in the department. So is it people that you actually go and train on this to make do the awareness programs? We don't really have knowledge about how you go about to do this. And then also you mentioned that people like the interaction. Now let me tell you, the committee, the community radio, one of the, it is there to create a platform for the community to get involved with radio and with a broader spectrum. So for me, that if we all agree to the fact that there's not really a budget, and we complain about the fact that we have budget constraints around DTT, why would the DOC not try and save money? Why would you go and do the more expensive way if you can support community radio? I'm going to be very irritating on this community radio issue because there's no way that I can see how we can do door-to-doors and reach only a limited, while the community radio also creates a platform for, that's one of the things that we say, that we, via community radio, that's the voice of the people. So they get, they can do wonderful programs interacting with the communities and get a much better result because people like to hear what other people say. And if you only do it with a little group of people, then I also want to know how many people do you actually reach with a door-to-door. But also then, where do you get the people from? Do they get training? And the program that you intend to roll out with this new budget, how is the allocation done? Because surely you must have planned. And I would like to see that. So I would like the committee secretary to make a note, or otherwise I'll send the questions, and then we can also have it in writing. The other thing I also want to appeal to the DOC, on a money factor, this committee won't be doing oversight abroad because this country doesn't have money. So I would like you to appeal to your entities to restrict Treasury to ask that there's no abroad flying if it's not necessary with a very good reason, because that's also wasteful. That's also not necessary that we waste money on that if we don't have a come back with really showing what we achieved with this, because there's a lot of things that I'm just thinking about the brand essay that goes abroad, but we don't really see what do they achieve with that all the flying and even the offices that I feel that is there is other offices that can be have a dual purpose, but that's for another. That's just the appeal that I would like to make to the DOC. Thank you.
Honourable Van Dyke. Honourable Palmer.
No, Chair, thanks. I think with regard to page 28, effective implementation of DTT project will set our country on a higher growth trajectory. I think I agree with that. As it outlined. However, what I wish to input upon is that the program rollout of public awareness and registration campaign, it is perhaps committed to, will be shown up or released, or we understand how it runs. You know why? Because when you are results driven, we would want to understand how have you impacted throughout the country, and numbers as politicians do matter as we speak to our communities on the change we bring. You know, there was comment over there, I may not remember the name, when we say your program and your public awareness thing must be targeted, you must target a sector. People who matter and who changes the country now are young people and women. So it's fine your sector, your entity specific, but when you mention public, people who matter in this country at that sector, whom we want to see how have you reached them. You see, so it's very key to understand what our defining of saying be sector specific. So I would like to input on that. I'm happy because the program, as to date and when and how, you can't outline here. But can you include those issues? Then you are relevant to us.
Thank you, Comrade Pavard. Then another question from Honourable Machoba. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I think many interesting questions according to this page 28. As the department is already identified those five provinces for this DTT project, my question, Chair, what criteria would they use to recruit the communities to participate to those projects? Two, I know there are many members, there are many constituencies to those five provinces. How do you communicate with those constituencies according to the work that will be on, that is already on pipeline? I'm very concerned about that because we always left behind by those departments. I want to be clear, Getche. Okay, thanks, Chair.
Those are the only questions. Over to you, DJ.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think let me start by allowing Dr. Mutube to respond to specific questions on DTT, and I will respond to the other one raised by Honorable Van Dyke. Thanks.
Thank you, DG, and thank you, Chair and members. The first question regarding the door-to-door registration campaigns. This is the most cost-effective way in which we have carried out this program without funding, with limited resources of five officials in the program office. We piloted this in the square kilometer array, wherein we went to forge partnership with the municipality through the office of the mayor and municipal managers. We have used the services of the community development workers, the CDWs, in their respective municipalities, wherein we brought them in a room. We trained them about how the registrations are run, what are the qualifying criteria, and so forth. And then we engaged in door-to-door activities with them. We have realized the registration of about 23,000 households in the square kilometer array within a month. Then we then further to that with the two provinces that we are targeting now, Free State and Northwest, through the district and municipalities and local municipalities, we established the steering committees comprised of, for an example, in Lejole Puzwa District Municipality in the Free State, comprised of all five municipalities, wherein individual municipality delegated three officials: public participation, local economic development, and communication officers, who then go back to their respective municipalities to bring in the community development workers and the generation of database of local installers to exercise and ensure local economic empowerment. So through the community development workers and the functional steering committees, we were able to, we are continuing to do that, face-to-face communication with the public through the use of community development workers. That is the first question on that. In terms of the community radio stations, we are running a call-in program based on the small funding that we had after the reallocation in January, February, and March, wherein we run a show that educate the public about the awareness, the criteria and areas we'll be visiting, and then they call in. It's a free call-in program with the public, and I think with that we have managed to reach a number of people and also get to understand the issues that are on the ground to those that we could not reach face to face. We were able to call in into those programs, and they continue to do that. And the last question is about the identification of the five provinces. I think I've indicated the issues. So I've dealt with the issues of the steering committee. How we get to the people assisting or participating in the program is through the steering committees that we've established with district and local municipalities. We're able to engage and bring in all stakeholders to participate in the program. At municipal level, the traditional leadership and other community structures, because they happen to be represented in those steering committees. In terms of the provinces, the first two are based on the current devices that we have, the terrestrial decoders that we have. and the other provinces are also are based on the proximity to the borderline areas where there are potential signal interference with the neighboring countries. So those are the basis for the prioritization of the provinces. I think I have dealt with all the questions.
Teacher. Thanks, Chair. I think maybe let me start by the question by Honorable Machoba. I think, Chair, perhaps what we need to do as a department and come back and report is what has been the lessons drawn in our approach to see whether what we did yield the results or not. Because I think the question that is raised is, how do we choose? And I go further to say it's not how we choose. It's to what extent does it involve the local communities in ensuring that there is transfer of skills and training for the locals, especially the youth. And I think, Chair, what I can appeal for is perhaps we can go review and see, Honorable Machoba, what lessons have we learned so that when you go to other provinces, we can be able to see what is the best model. And I think we are open to suggestion to see what is the best approach. If there are other models or other approaches that the committee would like us to consider, we'll take it into consideration and see what is the best approach in dealing with it. I think, Honorable Van Dyke, maybe what we need to talk about is how do we amplify awareness and ensure that community broadcasters are part and parcel of the rollout. And maybe what we can do is to go back and see, in our new approach, how do we engage them and ensure that we send messaging beyond door-to-door to include heightened campaign through radio, community radio stations. And maybe that's an undertaking that I can make at the moment to say, we'll do that and ensure that when we come back, we would have heightened the participation through the community radio broadcasters. I think, Chair, the other comment it's just a point to note, Honorable Van Dyke, around international travel, that I think what we need to do is not a question, it's more like an advice to say, try to extract value for money and don't allow people to travel for the sake of traveling. Number two, I think for Brand SA, we look into it in terms of rationalization and so forth, but at the moment, we had not gone that deeper in terms of looking at Brand SA, but it's a point that we'll take into account. We'll see how best we can take it for implementation. Thanks.
Are we not done? Much up.
Thank you, Chair. I think the other missing question or response is about the consequences. I'm saying, how about, what is the criteria they will use about our consequences? And they also already identified those five provinces. What is the involvement of the consequences around this work? Also, Chair, there's a contradiction in this response. I hear the response of is the DG, what reminds me. I don't want to call him the doctor. He said they will communicate with the community workers. Who's going to communicate with the community workers? I think let me ask just a general question. Are you associating this project? Is there any business persons who are involved in this? Or you will directly go down to the municipalities? There's no one is getting the business in this.
Chair, let me respond to that.
Let me stop, Chair. Maybe there are...
So, no, don't be in a rush to respond. Are you done?
We want to be clear, Chair.
Yes.
Because we don't want to hear anything at the end of the day whereby you didn't report to us and say we have these people. I remember last time in the presentation of this project. I'm very sorry because my document is not in front of me. And I'm always going back to read if there's something I don't understand. There was the issue of the 10 people. On that time, the minister was, the minister what is in the reshuffling, the minister of Ukubai, was reported that there are 10 people that they already are getting training in this project. And we said we wanted to know who's those people who get the training so that we can aware. That's why I'm asking this question of saying, is there any is this project associating? They are not taking the people from the business to do this business. I'm just trying to remind them.
I think mine was not answered to if you take those or what that because the chair earlier on said the fifth parliament is coming to an end. The sixth parliament will amend and do some other changes. What role do you play to assist the minister to report to the public of a good work if you have not touched the sector in the constituency that votes the minister in?
Yeah. That's the last round of questions, and be thorough when you respond so that there are no follow-ups. DJ?
Thanks, Chair. I think let me first apologize for rushing to answer Honorable Machoba's question. We have not outsourced the project, and we have not involved anyone to get a contract for awareness or any other thing. That's the first part. The second part, Honorable Chair, is that our engagement is through municipalities and the formation of the steering committees. And the understanding is that it is the municipalities who have the database, and they would then give us feedback in terms of who have they identified. And indeed, Honorable Machabu had said they're going to take 10 per municipality, the training. And we can only give feedback on the areas where we have been. But for areas where we are not yet there, We can look to see how best do we do that to ensure that we involved we get the constituency offices involved if they have not been involved in the previous ones. But for now, we have not outsourced it. We deal with the steering committees, and they give us database on who we should train.
I'll call on in the morning. I think it's an issue that we need to note, so that when we meet again, you start there, so that you can say concretely this is what we have done, or what we intend doing, so that the questions of Comrades Machoba and Qaba talk to us and as to why we are here. Because if you cannot raise issues that affect people on the ground and our constituencies, as Comrade Machoba is very consistent on that one, things must be clear so that when we go back to the constituencies, we convey the message that is clear. If we're not clear now, when we go back to the constituency, what are we going to say? This is Machoba speaking. Very consistent on that one, and I think when we come back, let's just have a very clear responses and something that will arm these members when they go back to consciences. Can you close it there? And thank you very much, DOC. We'll then cross over to GCIS. As I credit DJ, hopefully you'll come back. Just deal with the matter that you need to deal with. And then we go to GCIS. I want to say a few minutes so that they organize themselves. Can you take a few minutes so that you can organize yourselves?
195G, which essentially compels government to make sure that the information for enhancing our constitutional democracy is provided to the people timely and accurately, and it is easily accessible. And I'm not going to go through the legislative. I think they are all pointed out there. But our most important highlight here is that our mandate as GCIS is to make sure that we provide that coherent messaging, provides value for money in the money that is allocated to us, to make sure that we take the executive to the people who have elected them, to make sure that we provide professional communication standard, and also to provide the communication services that are of high standard to the South Africans. And lastly, it is our mandate, it is to proactively engage with the public, not necessarily through the product, but also to engage with the communities on a face-to-face basis. I'm not going to go through the vision and mission because it's more or less the same, but then I will jump to the situational analysis, which talks to some of the challenges that really we face with in the process of implementation of our work. I think the major challenge, which I suspect everybody talks about, is the limited fiscal resources. And honorable members, you will see when we then engage with our expected targets that these limited resources result in us producing material that is far below what the over 50 million South Africans expect from us. As I indicated, that we are compelled by the Constitution, but I think our limited resources, the increased demand for information, particularly in rural areas where people don't have easy access to some of the platforms that we benefit as people in urban areas. And also importantly is that we are in an environment that is very, very much contested in terms of communication, which then forces us to be on top of our game in whatever that we're doing. And lastly, I think we are in a situation where we have to at all times engage with our society, because they do create their own perceptions of government, especially if you leave that vacuum and you don't engage with the communities, then you sit with the problem of doing a catch-up if you are not proactive enough with your information. This, Chairperson, I think it is the organogram of GCIS. I'm not going to say much with the vacancies in anticipation. We still have a few, but I think we've done a lot in filling some of the vacancies that were there, but I think the important to note that at the senior level we still have the challenges. In terms of the programs of the GCIS, I think the first program, which is mainly administration, which is meant to ensure that we have an effective and efficient organization. I'm just going to highlight some of the performance indicators. The submission of our APP, which is what we do, the question of the quarterly performance reports that we submit to Parliament, we highlight that, the tabling of the annual report, which is compelled in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, the number of progress reports that we submit to the relevant structures in as far as the risk mitigation plans. And the human resource plan, which is accompanied by the implementation plan, which we're expected to submit to the DPSA. And I think I should indicate that some of these reports, we try and submit them, but also make sure that they add value to the work that we do. It's something else to do a compliance, but I think most of these reports, we have a time frame of engaging with them at a management level so that we submit reports of high quality. The information and technology reports, which we are compelled in terms of the public service regulation, this is one of the targets. And also the annual financial statements, which we are also expected to submit, I also have to indicate that a lot goes into putting together the annual financial statement to make sure that we submit annual financial statements of high quality, which is something that generally the auditors try and check. We also have risk-based internal audit plan, which we also try and submit to the audit committee, and that it then also gets subjected to the audit process. The assurance audit reports, which we are expected to submit. So that essentially, those are some of the deliverables in terms of Program 1, which we measure ourselves in terms of efficient and effective governance structure. And I'm going to move on to Program 2, which is the content and processing and dissemination. And honorable members, this is the branch that makes sure that the content that we present to South Africans is of highest quality, and also we make sure that we package it in terms of our segmentation model. And you will also note that some of the quantities that we will be showing there as our targets and audience, they leave much to be desired in terms of how much information is required by the South Africans. But I should paraphrase it by saying that this is what we can afford with the budget that we have. Number of editions of Vuk'uzenzele, I think we have explained it before, that this publication is meant for the communities that have no major access. I should indicate that we have managed to, through reprioritizing, to produce almost 22 editions on an annual basis. You will recall in the other years that we have presented, we used to present only 12 editions per annum. But what we have done is that we have had to change the quantity, because our quantity is 1.6 copies per edition. But in order for us to be much more regular with the current information to South Africans, we have had to break down that 1.6 into 800,000 per issue. And that has enabled us that we are able to produce twice a month a fresh information about government, and that's what we are still intending to do. But if budget allows us, we would want a situation where we have one edition per week, which will make sure that every South African in that segment of low segment model of the lower income communities are able to get information on a weekly basis from government. And remember that it also comes out in all the 11 languages, so we are able to ensure that they have that. We also have the public sector magazine, which in the main is talking to public servants. We are also going to be producing 11 editions. We also have the pocket guide of the South African yearbook. We also have to say here, it was never our intention to produce it online. Again, it is due to budget constraints. But honorable members, if one is to say, this is one publication that was a resource in all South African libraries, but we have had to stop. For schools, we used to produce this publication on an annual basis because it becomes a resource for students in researching about information on South Africa, but we only have it online now. But should the situation change in terms of budget, we would still want to have this publication going to all our schools and all our libraries. But at the moment, we produce it online. We also have the language services that we provide. Previously, we used to have online in-house all 11 languages, but at the moment we offer the service to government departments, but some of the languages we outsource them. We also have a news update platform, which on a daily basis we have journalists that cover government news and we put it online. We also have the main resource of South Africans and even internationally on information about government on our website. I think our website is one of the most visited website on information on government, because we have dedicated people that updates them on a daily basis, except on weekends. The new entry in our platforms has been a social media. It has grown over time. Honorable members, we have a dedicated team that daily updates on social media. The next platform still around on content, we've got a number of cluster reports. Honorable members, I should indicate that these reports are is information that is based from our research, which we package it and present it to clusters. The economic cluster, the JCPS cluster, the social cluster, and the GNA. I think we present these reports with a view of assisting departments in understanding what the mood and the environment is about in terms of informing them of what is expected of them. We also have two reports that we produce for, again, departments on communication monitoring and evaluation of what the communication is all about in terms of the media monitoring. We also have four insight newsletters which we produce on a quarterly basis. And this newsletter, member, honorable members, is based on a research material. I think the first one for this year, we've already issued, it was dedicated on water drought and water interventions of government and what the research tells us. We place it online, we distribute it to all the government department, but we also have, so currently on our website, the most recent issue that we've published is dedicated on water and sanitation. We also have the key messages. Honorable members, this is also one of the packages that we do as a way of addressing coherency in government. We do produce key messages which we send to all government departments and also provinces and municipalities. We also feel that these key messages assist in making sure that the departments have a coherent message on what we should be saying to South Africans. We then also have opinion pieces that we draft depending on what the topic for that particular month we do, and we also collaborate with the newspapers which allow these publications to cover them. These products, Honorable Chair, and this slide are talking to, one, the media buying. I think we are doing a lot, Honorable Members. I think the last time we came here, we presented the bulk media buying agency, which we have successfully established as government. We do a lot of work from departments in terms of doing a media buying on their behalf. We do a lot of photographic services on behalf of the departments, but the bulk of the photographic services that we provide, we service the presidency, even in all the visits that they do. We have a number of videos. We also do a lot of video services, which covers the activities that are happening in terms of government services and service delivery, the launches, and some of the events that the department requests us to do. That number is also based on the historical targets that we have had in the previous year. We also do a lot of graphic design, which we assist departments in designing. Sometimes they are adverts and whatever products that they want. They normally come to us and request. Then we also do a lot of distribution, but I have to also emphasize, honorable members, that the distribution that we currently are doing is purely for our own publication, the Vuk'uzenzele, the GCIS annual report, my district. That is what we do. We don't do distribution for other departments. We used to do it before, but I think with the budget cuts, we no longer do any distribution because we believe we have a very effective model of distributing, but we don't have resources, so we're not able to distribute for other departments. Moving on to the program 3, which is our branch that is an interface with the communities and intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder engagement. These indicators, I think, are purely talking to the engagements that we have with the various clients that we have. The first starting with the journalists, the number of engagements between ourselves and the journalists. We also have the post-cabinet briefing, which also enables us to interact with the journalists when we present the cabinet reports. We also have an engagement with other departments when we engage with some of the issues that are in the media space under that rapid response. We also have a number of engagements with the heads of communication, which is also that the plan is to have 4 engagements on an annual basis, because we engage with them with what they do, and we also use these platforms to share information of some of the issues that they may want to raise, but also we use it to get some speakers to engage with some of the issues in their communication. We also have another forum that we engage government communicators, which is we call it as internal communication forum. We also try, because we believe communication in department is another vehicle of engaging with South Africans, because most of the public servants in those respective departments, they engage with the communities in one way or the other, whether it's Department of Health, whether it's Department of Communication. We believe that this forum is important in that regard, that we tend to also make sure that we share with them the coherency and the program of government, because they become a useful vehicle. I think I'm going to talk to the training. I think there I would also want to emphasize that we do a lot of work around the training of government communicators, but also municipalities. I think in the past year we've done a lot of work around training municipalities, the councillors and the mayors. But what we are trying to say, Chairperson, is that this year we are trying to make sure that this function, we share it with the National School of Government, because it's their core business to train, and we want to move to a situation where, again, we try and streamline some of our limited resources and get the National School of Government to do the training of the councillors and also the government communicators. And then we also, I think I've mentioned the other one, but I think the one that I would like to talk to here is the number of development communication activation. Chairperson, this is one of our most activity that involves engaging with the communities. We've got about, 9 provincial offices, but we also have got 55 district offices. And through these platforms, honorable members, we are able to engage with communities on issues that affect them. I think we try and not be as arrogant to think that it should be a program that talks to us what they do, but we tend to engage with communities of what is it that they want to. And if I can use an example, one of the issues that we have even picked up in some of the districts where communities said that we want to be educated around the issues of rape and the issues of abuse of children. And in the most rural, you would have thought that maybe they are not that much of a problem, but we engage with communities. They give us feedback to say, you know, we hear government is coming to do a street here. We don't want a street. We actually want a vegetable garden. And these are the amount, the activities that we're talking to on the development communicating. We also have a program which, again, is also at a district level, the marketing of two song centers. We still engage communities in marketing the two song centers as the first line of protocol when they want information on government. But I think we are the first one also, Chairperson, to say the issue of the two song center still remain unresolved in government in terms of who is the custodian of the two song centers. But for now, we actually use them, and also our district officers, they try and engage communities at that level. I think the last that I would want to emphasize is the my district. Honorable members, I would urge you to just every Friday we have a new issue of my district. These are stories that come from the most lowest district on what communities are talking about and what are the communities doing. We collate it, but it's stories that are written by communicators at a district level, and it comes out every Friday. We have a database because it only comes out electronically. We've got a database of over 12,000 traditional leaders, community leaders, mayors, and that's the publication that is targeted to them. We plan to issue 44 electronic every Friday. I think at this point I will hand over to the budget office, which is Henny Becker, our acting CFO.
Thank you, DG. Mr. Becker.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG. Right, with regard to our budget, for the MTF period, the first slide reflects the MTF period. For 2018-19, we have been allocated 420.5 million rounded off, which include operational as well as personnel, but I will give you detail on the next slide. Then for 19-20, there was an increase of 5% from 18-19 to 19-20 of 5% as indicated, and then a 6.7% increase to 2021. Now, those increases are all inflation-related. The first annual increase of 5% is below the inflation even, but the next one was 6.7%, which is more than the inflation indicated by National Treasury. On the next slide, we can see then the split in the budget between the compensation of employees as well as goods and services, and that is for 2018-19 only. Now, our compensation of employees is 254 million rounded off, which is around 60%. We are a personnel-driven organization, and that is why it is 60%. Our operational funding, because of all the cuts during the past financial years, etc., is 40% of total budget of 420.5 million. The next few slides are actually the split per programs and sub-programs, etc. I'm not going to take you through in detail on that. However, we can answer questions if you may have. But can I take you to slide number 29? This slide to us, committee members and chairperson, is very important in the sense that we have been allocated our budget during the normal process, MTF, E&E. After that was done, we then received a revised allocation letter from National Treasury indicating that our budget was cut. Initially, for the 18-19 financial year, we had 10.782 million more. It was then cut with that amount. For 19-20, it was cut by 18.7 million, and for 2021, 19.8 million. So in the first year of those 3 years, it was a 6.2%, and the outer 2 years represented a 10.1% cut in the operational budget of goods and services. Now, that actually had a big impact on our total allocation. Then we had to take a conscious decision about how are we going to reflect that and what will the impact be for the department. We tried to actually being as possible, and what we then decided is to then reflect that budget cut proportionally amongst all our business units. Except in program two, where we then indicated to say but that but there must be specific reductions being made. But fortunately, those reductions did not have then a major impact. We have just changed the shift from print to digital. So over the three financial years, we actually Then actually those budget cuts which actually have an impact on our total allocation. Chairperson, that is the budget allocation for the MTF period. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think we could guide one of the things that we wanted to feedback on. I think there was a question that was asked on the Izimbizo and also community radio, and if you allow us, we would like to share, because we also have a particular concern with the community radio, and would like to share with the members the figures as we have them on the community radio, and why we want to also plead that community radios should be saved. They are our vehicles. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you very much, DGM. Thanks very much, Chairperson, and honorable members. I want to believe there are hard copies that you are having with regard to feedback regarding the recommendations that you made during our previous interactions. I think since last year, as we came here, there were quite a number of questions and recommendations, and we made sure that we note that and we go back and try to implement them. Unfortunately, it was not put in a PowerPoint slide, and I'm not seeing it in that today. Okay. Oh, members have it. Okay, no, no, it's fine.
You can go ahead.
All right. Okay. Yeah, the first document that is on the screen, which I have a hard copy of, I wonder if I'm not going to go line by line, but just to indicate that in our interactions, there were about 14 recommendations that were made the last time that we were here. And we looked at them, and then we implemented, and we thought we would give you feedback. The first one is about that we ensure coherent community media framework is implemented urgently. And we're saying we have started a series of nationwide meetings with provinces, and we have already done the Northwest and the PLL. And we also started and facilitated training both on messaging and digital media to ensure that the community is informed. And we implement the implementation is tracked via monitoring, particularly of social media. The second recommendation was that GCIS must develop mitigating strategies to contradictory statements published by various organs of the same government. We have an arrangement in the department where we have what we call rapid response, and this unit is introduced to make sure that daily newspapers are monitored, and we look at that and we try to circulate it to a various department communicators to make sure that they respond in a coherent manner. And there was a recommendation that GCIS review the skewed patterns of citizens' access to government information in the country based on geographic and socioeconomic status. I think members, you'll recall that at one time we came here and then we presented what we called government segmentation model, which we did on the 6th of March to you. And this model was created by GCIS to enable government and communicators to understand and communicate to the different South African people segments. And I think if you recall, that model clearly indicated which vehicles, which messages do we give to various segments of the community, and in that way we are able to succeed. There was also a recommendation that we develop a turnaround strategy to circumvent the falling advertising revenues. And I think it is a known fact that this food decline in advertising is caused by the government department's budget cuts. and there is nothing that we can do about that because all of them are saying because of budget cuts they are unable to advertise. But GCIS, we tried to be very creative. Now we have secured funding of critical communications initiatives such as the payment of state grants. You know that that is in the media, but we are doing it via various interministerial committees because we source money from them and we are able to undertake those campaigns. We have also secured funding of critical communication initiatives such as Tumamina, Send Me to Build the Msanzi, one campaign through the Directors General Cluster Forums. They have agreed, we did a presentation to them, and they have agreed that from their departments, they will be able to gather money so that we can undertake this this campaigns. And we have increased the clients, our clients base of the departments from 25% up to, we had 36, now we have 45 of them, which means they heeded our call, and they are able to make money available. There was also an indication that we develop or procure a system that will enable the department to quantify and track, also monitor money spent outside this system by government. We have completed a market scan, and we have identified service providers that can track that, and I think that will be launched very soon. We also were advised to develop a strategy to engage the public at large about the dangers of recent rise in fake news, and I think we took heed of that. Rapid response, like I've already indicated, it monitors and responds to all those fake news, and we are able to indicate to departments as to how they need to respond to that. The committee also said we need to present a comprehensive strategy on how GCIS plans to integrate active participation of members of parliament to become proactive agents to provide the work of the department in support of the NDP goals. I think here, members, what we are saying is that we have intensified our making available of all the publications of government at our parliamentary office there, and members of parliament across the board, across parliament, they are able to get those documents, and when they go to their constituencies, they make they make use of those publications. There was also a recommendation that we liaise with the Association of Independent Publishers and provide the committee with detailed information on the utilization of government ad spend. We have had a bid education committee to finalize a panel of community print agencies, this which will enable GCIS to procure community print advertising and report periodically to the committee, because that panel will be able to advertise, I'm sorry, to put our news information in it. We were also advised to improve support of SMME development. I think we took heed of that. We are developing an SMEE policy that we is residing in our supply chain unit, and our intention is that by the 1st of July it will be functioning. But notwithstanding that, the policy being absent, whenever we have a tender, we make sure that we give preference to the SMMEs, and we make sure that we really note that. We also needed to provide a clear plan on how the department is going to make sure that government departments advertise through platforms that have been created by the department. And I think our platform, which really we're seeing departments can advertise there, is the Vukuzenzele. And our DG has written a letter to all government departments to encourage them to advertise there so that we can get that. Then we also had a recommendation that says we provide a detailed report on the uniform approach of government communicators at all three spheres of government, including the development of the curriculum initiative. I think this is what we have been talking about on a number of occasions, that we have developed a government communication policy. All the guidelines and everything are put into that, but it's just that this has not been adopted by cabinet. And once it has been adopted by cabinet, all other government departments will follow suit and then be able to implement it. We needed to provide also an audit of how local government and national government departments were assisting community radio stations in terms of 30% as spent before the end of 2017 and 18 financial year. And we are saying the 2017-18 financial year has concluded and an audit is in progress. And once we have done that audit, we'll come and present it here. Then the last two items, honorable members, was about GCIS providing a list of the 293 radio stations to the portfolio committee, and we highlight how GCIS has used those radio stations. I think attached to the document that we are having, you are having in front of you, it's an indication of all those community radio stations and the monies that we have used for each radio station. And if you look at the total, an amount of 27 million rand was used for them, and the period is indicated at the top there. And I think if members go through that, you will see that this is the effort that we are making to support the community radio stations. And the last one, Chairperson and honorable members, was an indication as to where did our 42 imbisos take place that we reported in the third quarter. We also have an attachment there where we have indicated where those imbisos took place at the national level, at provincial level, and we have the 42 that we have reported. I think the documents are in your possession, and we can, if we have questions on it, we can take them. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yes. Chair, I think that's about it from our side. We can take questions.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Also for the information that you provided to us. There's only one thing I would like to, from this list of radio stations, my request was the 65 stations that you're actually working with, so I still want those 65 stations. With regards to the Imbiso report, I see that Northern Cape, there's nothing was done in Northern Cape. Why is that? And also the Eastern Cape. And then when I went through the list of the Imbiso or Imbiso report, I saw that none of these functions or programs had anything on, it doesn't show anything on DTT. So I'm not sure if that was ever touched on, but also in the whole documents that we received today, except for this one hard copy that we received, where you said that you in the Northwest and Mpumalanga that training was facilitated. Nothing in this presentation that you provided to us actually mentioned that you has any programs on digital migration. And I'm just curious to know if there is, you being the platform of communication for government, why is that? Because I would have thought that you would have been the main communicator with regard to this issue. And then I would like to know if you have anything on digital migration on your website, because that. And then I also want to know from you, community buying or advertising, media bulk buying, is it possible that we can get a report on, or a report on the companies that you actually bought in from? What media houses did you? Because I would like to see what is the spend on community media, if it's really relating to what, and also what companies or what media houses GCIS actually supports. Then I'm not clear on what you said with regards to the Vukuzenzele. Did you say that you are not distributing it anymore because of the budget cuts? Or only in your department? And if that's the case, are you now going to print less? Because I'm just curious to know about that. And then I also want to ask you on this two-song service centers. Are they in each and every district municipality? That's what I would like to know about that. Thank you. That's all for now.
Okay. Honourable Funda.
I'm particularly interested in your strategy around fake news. So you spoke very briefly about how you identify it and then inform specific departments. I mean, do you do anything beyond that? I mean, do you engage with fake news websites that are disseminating incorrect information about government? Do you try get those websites shut down? What do you do? Do you just identify and leave it at that? And then I think there's a very important role for GCIS to play along with the IEC about voter education, about the need to register and vote, obviously very apolitically. Is there a plan as we go towards 2019 for GCIS to play a bigger role? I think we leave that role alone to the IEC, and there needs to be some sort of government involvement in making sure that people understand how to register, when to register, how to vote, and all of that.
Okay. All right. We can. Unless there are other answers. But for now.
Thanks. I hope I will respond to some of the questions. So the community radio stations, the question, if I understood, was which community radio stations were we using? I don't know whether I got it wrong or...
Previously, it was presented to us that there's 65 stations that are being used regularly, and I asked, I would like to know what the names of these radio stations were. I'm also curious to how do you obtain specifically those 65, because you presented us with a list of 127. So what makes those 65 more special than the rest?
Thank you very much. We have a list of the community radio station over time that we have circulated to honorable members. But the question that you are asking is how do we select? Firstly, I think if we had our way, we would have all 293. On our platform. However, we can only work with what our infrastructure allows us. That's point one. The second is we also are able to work with those community radio stations that want to plug into our platform. I'll set an example. Some of the community radio stations are purely religious, and they would almost like our framework is just religion and we don't want to participate. The other category is those that want to sit in our platform, however, they do not comply. Like, for instance, tax compliance, because in terms of procurement, we can only work with those stations that comply to the tax regulations. And that is why, honorable members, we were saying we are quite passionate with this, because we have seen how impactful it is to our communities. I mean, we've got stations where you find that in that particular rural area, that's the only form of medium they have. And you'd find that some of them fall along the way because they have not been able to pay their taxes or they have not been able to pay the SENTEC. And we're hoping that the intervention that is being made will assist those platforms because we would want to keep them. So we have those that we keep because we can afford. There are those that are out because of the choice they've made that they don't want to be in, but also our affordability in keeping them, because we also have to pay for the line, to open the line to all of them. SENTEC also charges us for us to plug into their platform. So that's the issue. Imbizo, I don't know whether we are correct. I think the question that was asked to us is that you have these Imbizos. Please give us a breakdown, more information about this Imbizo. It was not about how we selected the venue. We just provided you with the information of that period, that these are the 242 Imbizo that took place, and then you said break them down and show us where they went. What we can try and do, and given that you are saying why not in this place? There is Mbizos take place every twice a year or four times a year, and we try and get ministers to engage with communities on things that they have committed to do. And they must go back to those communities, and they must also deal with the issues. Sometimes, in some cases, we are also advised by the province themselves to say, we have this community and they are very aggrieved, and this matter is outside of the scope of the province. We request the minister consent to consider this particular area to come and engage with the community. So sometimes the venues for the Izimbizo are guided by what the communities want. We also give our own input, as I indicated, that we've got 55 districts. And the beauty with our districts is that all our communicators, we employ them from that community. The adverts, you will never see an advert of a communication officer in a Soweto, and we normally place it in some district or in the Tusong Center, because we believe they understand the dynamics better and they can raise with us the problems of that community better. So it's a platform that we also use to advise the ministers. DTT, most of the departments, they will run their own campaigns. And in this particular case, the DTT, the DOC has a budget, they run their own campaign. However, we do assist them when they need us to assist them. But they have a fully fledged communications unit, and they run their communication campaign on their own. Advertising reports, I think you were asking whether we can give you a breakdown. Certainly we can, because what we do is that we have started monitoring mechanisms just to make sure that the budget that we have, at least even if it's little, but we're able to share with the community. I think we presented it before, but we do have that kind of a breakdown of how our budget is going. It's not yet 30% that honorable members can be the upfront about it, but it's certainly better than when we started in 2010 to bring it in-house, because we are constantly engaging, and that's why also it's in our interest that the MDDA try and assist these community-based platforms to keep up with the requirements of National Treasure. Some of them are not even able to invoice, which is a basic requirement in government. If you can't invoice, how can we use you? So I think we're hoping MDDA can really jack up in trying to create capacity in these platforms. But we will certainly provide you with that breakdown when we get back. You were asking a question of what I meant about the printing. Vuvuzenzele certainly is being printed. It is being distributed. What we are unhappy about is the South African Yearbook. It's the only publication that gives the history and information on government. I mean, most of the embassies, they use it, but we have deprived all schools from having their copies and all South African libraries because of the budget constraints. So we only have it online, but ideally we would want to see it still being printed, because it is a resource and it's a useful resource. Tusong centers, whether they are in all the districts, I'm not sure they are all. I don't have the number, but I don't think they are in each and every district. That was the ideal in 1994, that we want to have a situation where every district has a Tusong center. But I don't think we do have, I don't have the numbers yet, but I think we have not yet got there. But we certainly have got quite a sizable number. The challenge we have, honorable members, now is how do we maintain them? Some of them are falling apart because there is no maintenance budget for these structures. So I think that's it. The last question, honorable member, on IEC. I know that IEC is very particular about their space, but they've got a huge budget. They worked with us this last time, and we also still work with them because we've got a wider infrastructure at municipality level. So they've collaborated with us in this last time, this last round, but we would want to have a situation where we have our own budget so that we can augment and do that voter registration, because we believe it's very important. But for now, we just collaborate with them in assisting them with the platforms in going to communities. Thanks. So there was fake news. I nearly became a fake news myself. Chair, the only feedback I can give is that we've got a service provider that assists us in scanning the environment. And most of the time when they pick it up, we are able to advise the department and we're also able to intervene. But it's not enough, if you were to ask me, because by the time the service provider comes to us, it's already been going viral for almost a day or two. It's still a nightmare. I wouldn't say that we have cracked it. We have a service provider, but most of the time when they alert us, I think the damage is already done. But I think it's a work in progress that we're still trying to find ways of engaging with it ASP whenever it comes up. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much. Another question? Honorable Machoba.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to you. You did exactly what has been requested last time. We demanded this breakdown. If you remember, I was raising this issue of these imbizos. But I have a problem, but it's a concern. It's not a big issue for the future of these events, because I don't see any day you went to Eastern Cape to do these imbizos. To another provinces, the department went there more than 6 times. I don't know why you don't balance this visit so that the other provinces can benefit to this event of the government. There's a list below. It says it's in Imbizo program, which is a future program. This one.
No, when we were presenting here, we are requested to give from a period of July, August, and September, which means there are other periods where Eastern Cape or even the Northern Cape can feature. We only looked at the 3 months.
For the 3 months?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm just asking because I see my constituency is already here. Tololo Hlwembu, the Lizing, whereby she's not even there. But okay, let's not discuss here. But I'm just asking because I thought you said is the program you already done? You have done?
Yeah.
When?
Last year.
Last year?
Yeah, when we came here for the third quarter report, that was the request that was made, that can you give us a list? Because we are mentioning that we have achieved 42.
No, I'm aware about this.
Oh.
I'm talking about this list below.
No, the top is the summary, ma'am. And then
the
here is what happened where and the like breakdown of the top.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Okay, thank you, Chair. Okay, let me stop it because I'm not feeling well.
Yeah.
Though I'm interested to ask because there's an interesting things here. Okay, Chair.
Okay, you'll come back. We have time. Any other question, members?
No, Chair, I think, though I don't know how it may relate to, for totally new constituency offices, for support service and inception, how do you assist? For totally new constituency office, that just began. How do you give support and become available? No, look, okay, some of us have arrived. I'm establishing a constituent's office. How are you going to provide support and so on?
Chairperson, I think I wanted to even reassure Honorable Mashoba that Eastern Cape is one of our best in terms of grassroots. Eastern Cape, KZN, and Limpopo, they almost like go and do door to door. The constituencies, they actually have a very working relationship with the constituencies. They have a working relationship with the provincial structures. I'm not sure, Honourable Member, where your constituency is. I don't know whether we can engage, but most of the issues that Honourable Member is raising around the Izimbizo, our communicators try and advise the ministers to say, we think there's a problem there. But in some cases, it's the ministers themselves, because they know they have a program in that particular area. But I think we can take it back, because I think it is a valid question to say, how do we make sure that we don't have ministers only going to this particular province and not the other. I think it's something, Minister, that Honourable Members, that we can take back when we reflect, because most of the time we do review. After they've done the Izimbizo, we do a review, and we can also input your inputs, your suggestions. Thanks.
No, I think the critical issue that members are raising, let's have a balance. Let's have a balance so that we don't work on a kind of skewed way in terms of this. Let's have a spread. I think that's it's 3 months. 3 months is just a short period, but I think let's endeavor to have a spread in terms of the business. Thank you very much, GCIS. Well done, members. Thank you very much. Thanks very much. There is the tea, coffee, and outside tea, coffee, and poison. Then you can have your tea and coffee, but if you choose to have poison, it's your choice. Can we let them leave, and then 5 minutes will be enough? Let us allow them to leave in 5 minutes, and then as you leave, you can take coffee, tea, and something else. Okay, okay. Members, can you pull out your whereabouts? Just about. Before before we go to the program, remember at some stage I raised the issue that we need to take a decision on members. You recall that SABC, there are 3 vacancies. The new one is left by the deputy chair, Phoebe Potgieter Qobule. Before that, it was Kalidas, whom we were supposed to meet, Kalidas. And then a vacancy of that was not taken. That was not, Baki withdrew because of the sector she's in. So we have those vacancies. And I think it will be, because we have passed the 6 months, members, I think we just need to take a decision to advertise. And I was saying, we need to do that as soon as possible so that we advertise. Things are not looking good there. We advertise and select the best people. So we just need to take that decision that we go ahead with the adverts for all those 3 vacancies. That's my proposal. Fanda?
To double check, Chair, it's only MDD and SABC. All the other ones are fully, they've got their full members.
Remember, we are still, just before you, Honorable Kalak, remember we are still, there is no question about SABC. But remember we are still going to MDDA. We are still also dealing with FPB when we go to Johannesburg. And thereafter we can come back because we don't know what we'll get there and what our decision will be after getting whatever we'll get. So for now, can we focus on SABC? I've made the proposal, Comrade Lerumo.
No, Chair, I wanted to second the proposal, especially with the clarity on these other two.
A proposal from Lerumo Kalako, seconded by Fandam. We are done with that one. It's an easy one because it's something that we are supposed to do. Members, can you look at the program? The program is circulated. Because that's the only item in the agenda that is outstanding. Today is at the end, Honorable Van Dijk. Today is at the end. We have done everything except the last item. Tomorrow we are considering APP of BSA, ICASA, and FPB. And on Thursday, we are considering APP of SABC as the first item. That will be the first item. And then after SABC, it will be MDDA. And then I think the venues are clear. Do you want to talk on which one?
Yes, I'm just curious. Previously when we met, it was mentioned that the term of the chair of the MDDAS actually came to an end. So what is the progress, or what is the next, what's happening there? I just want to know, because we, I just want to get clarity. Are we now also going to, is that part of the process that we are now going to advertise for, or is he going to be filling in the position for an un... I just want to know what, are they going to be without a board chair now? Or what?
Yeah, I thought the explanation that I was making earlier was okay. Board doesn't correct in MDD. We go there, we do everything, and we take a decision, including that of the former chair of the board of MDD. So those are the matters that we'll deal with. But can I go on presenting the program so that after that we reflect on it? We were on Thursday. We're on Tuesday, I'm sorry, the 24th. And that is that. On MDDA, we deal with the terms of reference of MDDA investigation. That's on Tuesday, 24th. We do all those things before we go up to Johannesburg. And then 3 to 4 of May, remember, the 1st of May is on a Tuesday, and that is a public holiday, and we thought it will be necessary immediately after the May Day, we go for oversight, and then we do MDDA, we do, what is FPP? We do MDDA, just correct your program. Just correct your program there. On the 3rd and 4th, FPB is missing. We do MDDA and FPB, but also we do calendars. We use the evening of one of the days to meet calendars, and I'm not sure how far the communication is because we must agree with her. But maybe from now, the sector will have to communicate with Kalidas so that in whether it's the evening or whatever time that we have, but it must be in the program. And then we go Tuesday, May. We can do that. That's the 3rd to the 4th of May.
Is there any chance at all, because I see in that week we don't have any plenaries, we can have it earlier in the week, on Wednesday and Thursday instead of the Friday, if it's possible?
Which one is that? We're talking
the
Thursday.
The oversight.
The 3rd is, what day is the 3rd?
So the week, May Day, next, May Day, that whole week we don't have plenary.
Yes.
So I was wondering if we could rather not do it earlier in the week, on the Tuesday and the Wednesday. Tuesday, 2nd is a public holiday in Jan. Oh, Tuesday is 1st. Okay, so suggesting 2 and 3.
Yeah, we start on the 2nd.
I see.
We start on the 2nd. We should have said the 2nd here. It's 2 to 4.
Okay.
4 is what? Is it Thursday or Friday?
4 is Friday.
Yes, that will be half a day. Meaning what we'll do, wherever we are, we'll have to travel to Johannesburg in the morning. And then we start the program. Because if ANC sends me to KZN, and then I'll have to go back home. We start in the afternoon on the 2nd. And then finish on Friday, midday. So that we do everything in that during that week. What is wrong here is the date we should have said 2nd. No?
Yes.
Which is the Wednesday. Anything, Mama Chop? It's in Johannesburg. No, it's in Johannesburg. That's the second to the fourth members. Let's go to the 8th of May. Budget vote. This is SABC on third quarter. Because you must adopt the program if there are issues around whatever here. Yes. Yes. And then on Tuesday 22, we are trying to get NPA on progress made on cases that were referred to the SIU. That's in relation to the SABC thing. That's the 22nd. Anything on the 22nd? And then we'll go to 5 to 6 of June. Engagement with affected stakeholders on the BDM policy. All that is done in Parliament. That engagement, it's like... So we deal with that one. And then on the 12th, it's a CASA briefing by CASA on promoting competition in media, on competition and media plurality in the broadcasting sector, as well as the AN7 and multi-choice. And then, is all that, oh yes, this is in Johannesburg. It's AN7, multi-choice, CASA, we do that in Johannesburg. And then, 18th, and then 18th to the 13th is the constituency period, up to August. Elections fell next year. So that's the program that I present to the committee. If there are issues, then we can raise. Yes, on the program. On the program, eh? Okay.
Okay, I just want to ask that when we go for the oversight to the NDDA, if we can put a request through to them to invite those people that received letters that they will be suspended, and because I want those people also to be able to communicate with us on the issues. You remember that lady who still are being suspended from December and are being in hospital, and others get receiving letters. So they can also just be there to come and tell their side of the story.
Chair, I don't have a problem with her suggestion, but I think we can do it ourselves as a committee without involving them. If we can get details, we can ask the secretariat of the Comitrio office, so that we'll want to have the interface with them. We don't need to request from the board or from those officials there. Arrival point will be communicated by the secretary.
Everything that relates to preparation, your traveling, wherever you are, you'll be complicated. Traveling will be arranged from wherever you are, the hotels, and all of that.
Okay.
But also travel. Travel, the kind of airline that we are using. who use South African Airways, the national carrier. Yeah, so all those logistics will be dealt with. Is it seconded? Proposed and seconded? Not yet. Kalago moves. Fandam.
Fandam second.
Okay.
Oh, Members, I second this one. I'm seconding.
Thank you very much. Members, thank you very much. I think we did a thorough job today because we didn't have a pressure of time. Yeah. Thank you very much. Till we meet tomorrow at 9:30. Is it 9:30 or 10? Till we meet at tomorrow at 10. Okay.